ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Website Builder podcast and YouTube channel. Unfortunately, we don't have a guest for you this week, which means one, you're stuck with me and Mark, and two, it's a little shorter than usual. However, we will be chatting through some really interesting things and some things which I hope will kind of make you think a little bit different about like niche selection and just your business model in a different way. And we also talk a little bit about keyword research. So mainly it's of how our thought process is changing and adapting to a changing landscape. Google changing the things all the time, Amazon changing their commission rates, for example. And then some in-depth details around how we are performing keyword research for different scenarios. So hope you find this episode valuable. Let us know in the comments below if you are watching on YouTube. And feel free to reach out to us. Our email address is in the comments below, or it's team@nichewebsite.builders. Me and Mark pick that up. So let's get into it.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builder Show. Today, you've got me and Adam. No guests today, just us. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about Adam and I have been having a few different conversations about, you know, the recent Google updates, the product review update and the ones before that, and kind of changing our idea about, you know, how we want to go about building sites ourselves, but also, you know, for how we're going to be building sites for clients. So we wanted to chat to you a little bit today about what we've been thinking about, the kind of things that we're thinking of doing and kind of the kind of broad kind of guidelines that we've kind of set out for ourselves to in the way that we want to build sites going forward. So before we go into that, Adam, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Cool. So, yeah, as I said, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, how we're going to build sites going forward. So do you want to take us through kind of broadly kind of some of the things we've been thinking about?
Yeah, I think so. So we'll go through the things that we've been talking about first, and then probably be good to give an overview on like our top level keyword research approach, like strategy for each of the different kind of phases. So we've been, as you said, you know, Google have changed the goalposts quite a bit over the last couple of months, especially for affiliate websites, or specifically affiliate websites. And being in the trenches and running our own sites, you know, we have to adapt and change and modify as Google changes, which, you know, we've done over the last couple of years and we'll continue to do. So this is just an iteration of that. So we've come up with this framework now where we are thinking about sites in almost a four stage journey. So, you know, previously we were happy to build sites which were just, you know, pure affiliate sites. They only served the purpose of trying to get someone onto the site and then through to the affiliate program, be it Amazon or somewhere, and just trying to get a commission. And in all honesty, you know, that's still fine, and it's been fine for a long time. But I think the the days are numbered for just those kinds of sites. Google seems to have them in their crosshairs, and you know, we have to adjust and move on. So we're now thinking about this from a, let's say, a four-stage perspective. So stage one is, can we build an audience in this niche? And typically, can we build an audience based around questions? So is this a space where we can uncover tons and tons of questions? And we'll come on to how we actually do that in a bit. But if you think of marketing as a funnel, and it, you know, you've got top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, and bottom of the funnel, where the top of the funnel is all question based, you know, there's no real buyer intent, and then you move down the funnel to where it's buyer intent. This phase sits pretty much in the top of the funnel, in the top of the funnel space. So we're just trying to get related audience to the website to give them genuine, helpful answers to the questions that they may have. And that's all. The route to monetization there is through display ads. So, you know, we're not trying to sell them anything essentially at this point. It's just, can we be helpful? Can we build an audience of people that know us as a helpful website and a helpful resource and monetize with display ads? Once we've got that and we've got the audience, we move on to phase two, which is, can we now start providing them with some kind of product? You know, in an ideal world, we'd like to be looking at, are there digital products out there which we can promote? So, for example, if we were making a website on how to be, you know, anything to do with nursing, for example, you know, the top of the funnel questions are, how long does it take to be a nurse? What does the salary when you qualify? You know, what kind of qualifications do you need? How to get into medical school, all that kind of stuff. Phase two would essentially then be, are there providers in that space that already offer a digital course or some kind of product that would benefit the audience that we've already built in phase one? And if we can find them, can we partner with them, and can we be an affiliate for their programs? Which kind of leads us on to phase three, because phase two is a proof of concept. If we can start selling other people's products and courses and offering value that way, can we now look to build our own? And can we build upon a better course? Can we build a better community? And all this is kind of taking the first interaction from phase one and now trying to build it into a community and a brand and a real business, essentially. And by creating your own product, your own course, you know, whatever that looks like on phase three, you're starting to become a brand and a product and something that has more intrinsic value than just an affiliate website. And then phase four, this part isn't always, depending on the niche, isn't always possible, but in an ideal world, phase four would be then where we connect the audience that we've built through phase one and three to direct-to-businesses. So for example, can we, in the nursing example, can we then build a directory of education providers like universities or colleges that offer nursing education? Can we look to partner with them and sell them leads? Or, you know, is there any way that we can create a state-by-state directory of the best nursing schools by state and sales sponsored listings, for example? Like, how can we basically connect the audience and monetize the audience that we've built up and the trust directly to, you know, the end consumer there? Yeah. Which leads us nicely, and this is a long-term plan for a website. You know, by the time you get to stage four, you would essentially be an authority in the space anyway. But stage four allows you then to find strategic acquirers, maybe strategic partners, strategic acquirers. And for example, if you were providing, you know, 30 or 40 leads to a couple of universities every month, maybe, and I don't know about the dynamics of universities acquiring these kinds of sites as lead gen, but maybe they would be willing to acquire you because, you know, you're providing so much value for them. And I imagine that these kind of partners would value a site way more than a 30x multiple that a traditional affiliate marketer would value you. So I'm conscious I talked a lot, Mark, and I spat a lot out to you. So yeah, well, we probably have questions.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's about building a roadmap to a community, isn't it? So the goal here is thinking long-term, thinking about how we can build, in inverted commas, like a real business, right? Rather than just a site that's using SEO to get people there, to get them to click through the link and never see them again. We're actually trying to do more than that and build. And that's where what you called the question-based content kind of comes at the start. It doesn't necessarily, I mean, we've got a great strategy right now for building question-based content, and we're having seen fantastic results among our clients. But it doesn't necessarily have to be question-based content. It just has to be informational-based content, right? Something that is useful for people within a niche, stuff they're going to be searching for that is going to get them coming back again. So I think you covered that pretty well. We mentioned there that the FAQ kind of based stuff. Do you want to, we've talked about this on a podcast already. We've got a dedicated podcast to it. I can't remember what it was now. Why you should give a FAQ about FAQs. But to look that up if you want to. But we've got a pretty good strategy. And we're starting to see some really good results now, not only in building sites from scratch, where we're kind of predominantly focusing on question-based articles, but also for updating existing articles on people's sites. So now we're looking at this, if you've got a website and you've got lots and lots of old old articles on there, and you're thinking, I really should give these a refresh. That FAQ service is great for that. And again, we've been seeing a great uplift in traffic from doing that kind of work. So do you want to go into a little bit about the FAQ service and how we go about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so we've been doing something with Doug Cunnington, and I think Doug's going to be releasing his results soon about where we've updated some of his content with FAQs. And he's been doing a controlled experiment where he's basically created a Google segment out of just the URLs we've updated. And that traffic to those pages, I think when he releases the results, will show that his traffic has increased to those pages over 200%. So yeah, it's working really, really good. I guess we should cover a little bit about the method that we use to uncover this. So it's all based around reverse engineering Google. This whole idea came up by when we were doing traditional keyword research, which typically involves looking at competitors or starting with seed keywords and looking through Ahrefs and trying to pick out what we think would be good question-based or informational-based keywords. The missing part there is us, essentially, in that these are questions or keywords that we think are relevant to the topic. And we're influenced and biased by, third-party metrics like keyword search volume and keyword difficulty. And, us as humans see informational data different to the way Google does. So we kind of went back to the drawing board and thought, how do we do our keyword research, but just based on what we know that Google thinks are relevant. So we came up with two different methods initially. The first one is, if it's an existing website, we run it through the Google NLP algorithm to pull out all of the entities, which are basically the topics that Google think are relevant. And these are just seed head keywords, which we can expand upon a little bit. And then from there, we have a method where we mine all of the people also asked questions that come up on the SERP results when you search for related head keywords. So typically for every one head keyword, we're mining 300-400 people also asked questions for that. If we're looking at something about nursing and how to be a nurse or, the whole nursing school scenario, typically we would mine, upwards of 10,000 questions in an ideal world, all about all of the questions that Google think are related to nursing, nursing school, nursing education, nursing exams, books, all of the everything that's related to that. And we end up with this massive list, which is cool. We then remove the duplicates, but we go a step further than just removing the duplicates, because obviously we know we're in an intent-based world now. So we also have to remove the keywords with duplicate intent. And the tool that we've created to help us mine these questions also pulls out the little snippet of text that comes under each question. And what we found is questions with the same intent but a word is slightly different, they share the same snippet. Google shows the same snippet because it understands it's the same. So we also remove duplicates which have the same snippet as well to remove that. And then we run it through a clustering tool, which basically clusters the questions together or groups the questions together based on having similar URLs or the same URLs in the top 10. And what we're left with is literally groupings of questions where there's a primary question and there's several sub questions, which essentially make up the structure and the brief that we use to create the content. So, you know, it's a primary question, which is the article title, and then anything from 2 to 5 or 6 sub questions, which make up the H tags or the H2 tags of that piece. And then when we format and we upload it, we make sure that it's all marked up with FAQ schema as well. So we're literally handing it to Google on a plate and saying, this is question and answer based content. Here is exactly what it is. And that's the method that we use.
Yep. And yeah, like I say, I mean, Doug's result isn't just a standout result. It's pretty typical for like what we've been seeing across many of our clients. It's not always the same. Some see better results than others, but typically across the board, we're seeing pretty good results, aren't we, from that service. So,
yeah.
I guess what's probably also is worth covering kind of in within this kind of aspect is you know, our keyword research method when it comes to looking at competitors and how do we select. A lot of our keyword research goes down to competitor based research now, especially when we're working with an expired domain where we've already got some authority. So do you want to cover how we're going about that?
So I mean, it's a hot topic and a hot word in the industry now about correlation. Like, how do you correlate your content to X? Typically, people are trying to correlate their content to websites in the top 10, for example, and there are tons of tools out there which help you to do that. But and that approach is good and it's fine, but we've taken a slightly different approach to this. The reason being that if, for example, we're working with an expired domain and it is a DR25, for example, if we're creating a piece of content and we're correlating it to websites in the top 10, those websites could be a DR50, a DR70, you know, there might be one DR20 in there as well, but essentially we would be trying to correlate to websites which are not the same as us, typically stronger. So our approach to this is a little bit different, where we compile a massive list of competitors in the space. So we don't even look at any metrics to start with. We literally just look at who are all the competitors in the space. You know, typically content sites and affiliate sites. We exclude all, you know, any e-commerce sites and things like that. It's just content-based sites. And then we pull up 6 different metrics. And this is just to help us gauge the domain strength. So we pull out UR and DR from Ahrefs, trust flow, citation flow from Majestic, and DA and PA from Moz. And the reason that we use 3 different providers is because sometimes the results can be a little bit skewed from just one. So we want a nice overall blend of how strong a domain is. And then we add them all up. And then we do the same for the domain, the expired domain that we're working with, for example. And we order them highest to lowest on that total score. And that allows us initially to kind of see where this domain fits in the competitor landscape, just in terms of domain strength. Which is helpful in itself. Like, you kind of see, like, are you in the bottom quarter? Are you in the top 3 quarters? Kind of gives you an idea of where you lie. And then from there, all of the domains that are of similar strength or weaker strength, we pull into a new list, and then we pull out the monthly traffic data from SEMrush, which is not super accurate. We know it's like 2 or 3 times lower than what the actual number is, but it's a good reference if you are using it across all of them. And then from there, we want to work out a ratio which gives us an idea of how well they're making use of their domain power. So we divide their total monthly traffic by the total score of all the 6 metrics we added up. And that gives us a ratio which says, for every 1 domain point they have, how many organic visitors are they driving per month? And essentially at this point, we're looking for like outliers, like sites which shouldn't be getting the traffic that they're getting, or almost like anomalies, where their domains are fairly weak, but they're getting lots of traffic. And what that says to us is, if it's not the domain strength that's allowing them to get this traffic, it's something else. And that something else really can only be content, unless they're using some kind of hidden PBN or something like that. But typically it would be content. And then that's the site that we want to correlate to. So we use Screaming Frog to pull out all the titles of their top pages, the H tags, the content structure, the content length, and essentially becomes almost like an imitation game then. How can we look at this competitor's piece of content? How can we structure hours in the same way? How can we make sure we have the same number of H tags that say roughly the same thing? You know, how can we make sure that our content is the same length, maybe a little bit longer, a little bit more in depth? And basically, how do we create something that's just as good, if not a little bit better? And then when we know that we upload it and we do all the, you know, the good on-page stuff, you know, making sure that the hierarchy is right and internal linking and our site structure is correct, over time, we know that we can outrank those people because our domain is essentially better and we've got a very similar structured piece of content. So that's how we approach that method.
Yeah, and it totally makes sense. I mean, we've, again, like the results are ridiculous, like for what we've been seeing for this. I mean, I've been doing it in my own portfolio. Maybe we can kind of cover that at the end, like, but like also just with clients, like, you know, it totally makes sense because basically what we're doing is letting those sites that are lower authority than us or our client site do all of that hard work, you know, because, you know, you write loads and loads of articles, only a certain, you know, percentage of them will rank, a small percentage of them will rank, you know, will bring in most of your traffic. So we're letting them do the hard work, finding out which keywords are they can actually rank for, given the authority of their site. And we know we're a higher authority, so we have every right to be able to rank for that as well. And therefore, if we write an article, so we just take the best articles from the competitors, right? And knowing that we're stronger than them anyway, and the chances are that we can rank. And the result is that we end up having more content ranking off the bat than we would if we were just doing a more traditional kind of keyword keyword research.
Yeah, think of it as, so that, you know, most websites follow the 80-20 rule where 20% of their content drives 80% of their traffic. Like you say, we've kind of let all these competitors put out maybe 100 pieces of content each, and then only 20 of them are driving the most of their traffic. Like, we don't want to be another website where we put out 100 pieces of content and kind of see which 20 rank. What we want to do is look at, okay, we've got five competitors here, which 20 rank from you, which 20 rank from you, which 20 rank from you, and we create our 100 based on, you know, the top 20 from all the competitors that we found, essentially. So yeah, it's letting competitors spend money to do their testing, and that's coming in and almost cherry picking what's worked for them.
Yeah. I'll put you on the spot now, but like, I'll share some of my numbers in a minute for the site that I've been working on. But for our clients, have you got any kind of off the top of your head, kind of any clients that we've been working with that we've used that approach for, and kind of some of the numbers that we've seen from that?
Yeah. So it's become almost our go-to method more recently. It's one of the biggest methods that we use in conjunction with the FAQ method. We've got one standout client which has done extremely well with this method. So we've been working on the site with them since December, and they've been fairly aggressive with content because they could see that this was working really quick. So I think between December and now, we've added about 450,000 words of content to the site. But the site has exploded. Like, we identified one competitor that according to SEMrush is getting about 1 million visits a month. And essentially that's the competitor we look to imitate. And we were already driving over 100,000 page views per month for this client. Just been accepted into Mediavine. You know, they're on track to make $2,000-$3,000 a month in revenue, and it's only been like 5 months essentially. So, but that's an extreme example. Like, it doesn't always happen like that. I know that the domain that the client brought to us for that project was very, very powerful. But yeah, it does work, whether it's an insanely powerful domain or whether it's a, you know, just a, I'd say normal domain, but I don't know what a normal domain is. What's a normal expired domain? A more average expired domain.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess like something, the one that I'm, so we, when we both had a podcast, when we both did our last podcast together, we spoke about our portfolios a little bit. We spoke about kind of the different approaches that we were taking. And I was talking about approaching, building some sites into the portfolio, which are kind of giving that kind of base level of income. Just like day in, day out, and kind of focusing on informational, but kind of really it was kind of the early thinking about this kind of four-step approach that we've been talking about now. So, So I've got one expired domain that I started with, which, you know, you could call like a normal expired domain, which is, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's like a DR11, something like that. But it just fit perfectly into kind of the niche that I kind of discovered that I kind of wanted to go into. And so I too started that around December time. I've not been quite as aggressive as our client in terms of the amount of number of words that we've got on the site. I've probably got just shy of 200 articles on there at the moment. So I wouldn't say how many hundreds or thousands of words it is, but it'd be maybe 150,000, 200,000 maybe, words. And it's doing about 1,500 visitors a day at the moment. So that's about over the, I mean, it's going up so quickly that you look at the last 30 days and it's like 20,000, but, you know, extrapolate that out, 1,500 a day, so it's around 45,000. So it's going to be on Mediavine at the 50,000 point in no time. So that's kind of 6 months old. And this is using this approach that we've talked about with the identifying where you are in that landscape and kind of looking at the people below and trying to outbeat them. So even though I was a DR11, there were still sites that were below me in terms of, and were ranking for articles within that space that I could take and imitate and get good results from. So
that's it. I think you hit on something there where you said it was only a DR11, but it was sites below you. Like, one of the biggest areas of time that we spend is initially crafting that initial list, because the bigger that list is, the more opportunity we have to find like sites which are, you know, sub DR10, for example, and getting 30,000-40,000 visits a month. And it's crazy how often you see that. Like, if you're doing this research often, those sites are out there. There's loads of those sites out there, like really, really weak domains. I think Spencer Horst put one on his Facebook group last week or the week before. It's something like a DR3 getting 30,000 visits a month, according to Ahrefs. So we know that's probably closer to 100,000 visits a month for like a DR3.
Yeah.
And they're out there. You just got to spend time finding them.
Yeah. And it feels like Ahrefs make it reasonably easy to do that as well, right? Because they got the competitors and you can just go drill through and just keep bringing them in into a spreadsheet and then work out where you are. It's simple. it's very simple and actually not very difficult to achieve either. It's not a complex keyword research method, but
Mark, don't make it sound too simple. this is our proprietary method. Don't make it sound too...
Well, I mean, people can go ahead and do it really if they want to. I mean, if they haven't got the time, then there's always us, of course. But like,
in all honesty, we share this stuff as well, like step by step to all of our clients, like. This isn't a secret. Like, we share exactly how we come up with plans to people. Like, it's not a black box where people make an order and then you just get a list of keywords. Like, this is all shared. So I think it's quite cool that we can talk about it on a podcast openly as well.
And it evolves all the time, right? How many times have we changed our strategy and methods like since we started 16 months ago? All the time. And like, we're just always testing new stuff. And when new stuff works, we kind of run with it and do some more, check it's not, you know, just a one-off and then roll it in. Yeah. So I think that's the beauty of working. You know, we've had our own portfolios for a long time, but like, you know, we're only ever working on so many sites. Working with our clients, we can, you know, there's the opportunities to try new things because of the different niches, the different strength of the domains, like, you know, what the client wants to achieve. We just see so many more things and it gives us that opportunity to find out, you know, really be able to see what's working and what's not and kind of feed that into our process and then, everyone benefits. So cool. Anything else you kind of want to mention about the four-step process and the keyword research and stuff that we're doing for that?
Not really. I guess it's just trying to put across, like, you can approach, like, just maybe if you're doing your own like niche research or website research or due diligence on a website you're looking to buy, like, maybe just keep an open mind about, you know, this four-step process. Maybe like try and think about it holistically from the start. I've been guilty of buying websites in the past that have no right, like, basically would never fit into this kind of four-stage plan. But my mindset has changed now, and I think if you can get into the mindset of trying to think longer term, how to build a brand and an audience and, you know, an actual real business, like you said, like, can you turn it into that? Does it have the foundations for that? Is it the right niche for that? I think you'll do well, rather than just thinking about this as a money-making transaction where you are getting someone to the site and just literally trying to push them out the door to an affiliate offer as quickly as you can.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think it's just a case of over time, you know, you just raise your game naturally as kind of Google kind of raises theirs. I mean, ultimately, Google's just trying to serve the best results to people. So these updates are valuable to the end user. And yeah, for us, I think it's a good thing because it raises the game for us and like what we want and actually what the value of the asset will be in the long run. So, you know, we've always tried to produce great content and we've kind of evolved that a lot over the time that we've kind of been working on client sites. But this is just like the next level. We want to kind of help people really build something that's a real business, essentially, kind of in the long term. So I think, you know, if you go down that route and you're generally kind of attacking it in that way, you're not trying to take any shortcuts, then there's no reason why Google wouldn't want to rank you or wouldn't see you as a legit business because you are. That's the problem with the product reviews update, right? It's that it's just trying to get rid of all those crappy affiliate sites, and you know, you could get caught up in all of that. So the more you can kind of genuinely become a legit business, the more chance you have got to ride things out and just be there for the long term as well.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
anything to report on your portfolio or anything you're getting up to at the moment?
No, I spoke with Doug. We did a great episode with Doug Cunnington, recorded yesterday. I think it's coming out in the next week, about one of my awesome case study. I bought a site on the 29th of January and I kept it for a grand total of like 38 days, I think, or 39 days. I made a ton of improvements, which when I actually sat down to work out like how long it took me, literally took me like a day. So it was over the course of like a couple of evenings, but it literally took me a day probably to do. And then I was able to find a buyer who appreciated all the work and can see like the RPM of the website went from $15 to on average to 20 and 25% increase. And I was able to sell that site and make a profit of $18,000 literally within 38 days, essentially. So we go into the details on like exactly what I did, literally step-by-step checklist of everything I did. So that'll be a great episode for people to listen to. And that's it, really. I mean, everything else is just ticking over nicely. Just looking for the next opportunity now, essentially. And losing money in the crypto markets and all that's going on there.
Yeah. If you're listening to this now or in the future, we had a massive bull run and it's on the way back down again by the looks of it down the other side. So, yeah.
Yeah, my poor dad, I knew it was the top because my dad came over last week and said, can you set me up a Binance account? And I said, well, I can, but it's risky, Dad. And I'm not even kidding. Like, I set it up for him at like 7:30 in the evening. And then he phoned me then at 10:30. And I thought something was wrong. And I picked up. I was like, you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm fine. I just want to let you know I'm up 80 pounds. I was like, cool. Like, great, Dad. And then he's just gone down ever since. Like, he hasn't been back in the profit ever since. So that, to me, that was the sign of the top that my dad wanted to get into the market.
So your dad's for.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. Okay, well, I think, we'll wrap it up there then. And
Yeah, nice short, sharp episode. I think hopefully plenty of value and hopefully give people a bit of something to think about.
Great. Right. Till next time then. Cheers, Adam.
Cheers, Mark.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.